It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and No Good Lying Through Your Two Tall Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Volchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcasts streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com, I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. We're honoring the 25th anniversary of the Iditarod Teacher on the Trail program. Joining us is Director of Education of the Iditarod Trail Committee, Jane Holmes. And featuring former Teachers on the Trail, designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
Thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with co-host and good buddy of mine, Mike Ford. Well, it's getting close to being Iditarod time, and the excitement is definitely building. In fact, mid-February on gets busy with the Fur Rendezvous, starting 10 days before the Iditarod. The Fur Rendi is an annual cabin fever reliever that originated when the fur trappers would come to town to sell their furs, and an enterprising man saw the opportunity to build a citywide event around it. And today, the Fur Rendezvous is packed with all sorts of fun activities, including the World Championship Dog Sled Races, which is a 3-day sprint race compared to the Iditarod. And by the way, our very own co-host Mike Ford will be announcing the races. Anyway, we'll be talking more about the Fur Rendezvous in future shows. But today's show is a special one for us because we are honoring the 25th anniversary of the Iditarod Teacher on the Trail program. Education has been becoming an increasingly important aspect of the Iditarod. In fact, it's as if the Iditarod has become a giant experiment that affects a broad range of educational topics like science, social sciences, biology, math, the trades, communication, and more. And leading the way is Jane Holmes, the Director of Education of the Iditarod Trail Committee. Jane has gathered a number of the former teachers on the trail who you're going to meet who have championed the Iditarod and using it in their studies to make learning fun and beneficial for their students. And we think you'll be impressed and inspired by them as much as we have been. So stick around as we honor the 25th anniversary of the Iditarod Teacher on the Trail program. But of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially a Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's the preferred coffee for Iditarod mushers. It takes a lot of work to run the Iditarod, and mushers go for days with very little sleep. But just one sip of caffeine-packed Big Alaska Show Blend, and mushers won't get any sleep and only need one dog. And one taste says it all. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup. It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup. I can't get enough of that Big Alaska Show Blend.
That's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcast at BigAlaskaShow.com.
This is Mike Ford.
And I'm Uncle Steve, inviting you to join us for the Big Alaska Show Saturday mornings.
It's Big Alaska Guests, Adventures, and No Good Lying Through Your Two Tall Alaska Tales.
And we're designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure.
Just leave your muddy boots and politics at the door.
It's a great way to start your Saturday.
And we're locally owned, just like our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors and Alaska Enterprise Solutions.
For broadcast, streaming, and podcast information, visit BigAlaskaShow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show.
I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Just a quick reminder, if you miss our broadcast, you can catch our podcast on our website at bigalaskashow.com. You can also email us to give us some feedback on things you'd like to know or hear about. In the meantime, today we're featuring and honoring the 25th anniversary of the Iditarod Teacher on the Trail program. And we're going to be talking to former teachers on the trail, starting with our first guest, the Director of Education for the Iditarod Trail Committee, Jane Holmes. Jane Holmes is the Director of Education for the Iditarod Trail Committee, and this year, 2024, marks the 25th anniversary of the Teachers on the Trail, and Jane has gathered some former teachers on the trail to join us. Would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Jane Holmes?
Hey, Steve, thank you so much.
Well, first of all, congratulations, the 25th anniversary of the Teacher of the Trail program. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was not my idea to start with, of course, but it was a fabulous idea, started 25 years ago, and it's a really important part of our education department.
Absolutely. Now, we wanted to do this and dedicate to the 25th anniversary because, as you know, your industry is a pay it forward industry. But here at the Big Alaska Show, we know you deserve applause at the very beginning. And so we really want to champion the educational value that's come out of this, and which is significant. Why don't we start out, for those who don't know what Teacher of the Trail is, Jane, why don't you talk a little bit of an overview of what it's about?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for the kind words about education. You know, teachers don't do what they do for the applause and the accolades. And it's always nice when you get a thank you here and there in return, for sure. Yeah. Well, the education department is a bigger entity than the Teacher on the Trail, but the Teacher on the Trail is certainly one of our iconic programs. And it was started in 1999 by a teacher who put herself on the trail because she believed in the power of the Iditarod to affect change in learning. And she flew herself up and got herself out there. And that was Andrea Finney Ofterhide from Indiana. She didn't really know she was the first teacher on the trail. And the next year, Diane Johnson, who was the longtime Iditarod education director before me, and who really developed the education department into what it is today, she became the second teacher on the trail. So what it is, I'm going to kind of explain how to become teacher on the trail. So all year long, every year, thousands and thousands of teachers use the Iditarod in their classroom, and they weave it in and amongst their other subject areas to inspire and engage and motivate students. Everything becomes way more interesting, way more exciting when you have Alaskan adventures and mushers and sled dogs as the topic. And so, you know, students just seem to light up and do whatever it is they need to do better, with more interest and with higher learning outcomes when the Iditarod is part of that. So each year we accept applications from teachers who are interested in being a teacher on the trail. It is quite an involved application. It's like a three-ring binder full of materials. And from those applications that we get, there's a selection committee who goes through them and tries to determine the best match for the job. And the second part of the interview process is that those who are selected as finalists actually travel to Alaska for the next race and are part of the educator conference and they do presentations and they work with dogs and they work with mushers and they work with people, because that's also an important part to know about them, is how they can relate to the public and to what's going on in Alaska. Can they walk through snow? You know, things like that, important stuff like that. So. And then they're selected after that to serve. It's a volunteer position. It is a, well, we like to say it's a job. It does involve a lot of work all year long. So the current teacher on the trail is coming up in a couple of weeks. And then she'll be done June 30th. And the next teacher on the trail will be selected in the next few weeks to start July 1st. And what they do is they spend the entire year writing lessons and curriculum, posting those new things on our website. They do presentations, not just to their school and communities, but, you know, digitally, virtually across the country. And they are our source of new lessons and new curriculum. And they continue, they help us perpetuate the education department by producing all these new materials for teachers. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Yeah.
That's it. See, and just so people know, this is a highly coveted, sought after position. And there's only one teacher of the trail out of all the competitors. So
it is coveted and sought after. And but it's a very specific person that can do this thing, you know, that can do this. You have to, you know, we look for innovative teachers, highly energetic people, folks who are really well, really good at public speaking or extemporaneous speaking, folks who are go-getters and get in there and do it, folks who are willing to think outside the box. It takes a really special person to qualify for this position.
Sounds like the job description for a teacher.
Right? And I want to put in a plug for all the teachers that have been on the trail, because many of them are what run the whole education program to this day. They haven't left. You know, I'm from 2008. I'm still here. We've got teachers from before when I was on the trail still helping out with things. So it's kind of, you kind of get hooked to it and want to stick with it for a long time.
And to your point, you were a teacher on the trail.
Yes, I was. 2008.
What grades were you teaching at that time?
At the time, I was teaching fifth grade in Phoenix, Arizona. And I just had gotten the job, and I found a book, a really old book, about the Iditarod, knew nothing about it. And I found this book in a cabinet, and I thought, holy buckets, this is going to light them on fire. These kids live in Phoenix. You know, some of these kids literally have never seen snow. And I thought, this is going to be great. And so I just started dabbling into it and following it. And it, you know, in 2005, I traveled to the race because I was planning on applying for teacher on the trail, and I wanted to get my boots on the ground and see what it was all about. And I just couldn't get enough of it in my classroom. I couldn't find enough ways to weave it into what I was doing, because it just makes everyone happy and excited about learning.
Sure. Share with us one of your experiences with students, an experience you had as teacher in the trail.
Yeah. You mean in my classroom?
Yeah. Just, you know, yeah. Or any kind of related with education. But yeah, if it is with your classroom.
Not in the classroom anymore, as you know, but I've had some actually pretty profound experiences with students in regards to the effect of the Iditarod topic. What I love about it, I think, in the classroom is that it's like the way I used it was a big picture thing. So we would do experiential learning, hands-on learning, project-based learning, where they would have to create newscasts or plan trips to Alaska or plan their dog yard and how to feed them. And so what it does is it gives you ways to incorporate many different academic areas: math, science, reading, geography, language arts, all in one place. And that's a real gift to a teacher, to be able to cover a lot of bases with one topic. And the other thing is, it was helping me teach what I had to teach already. It wasn't extra. Like, I had to teach double digit multiplication. Well, that's easy. Let's figure out how many booties you need and how much they cost. I mean, that's double digit, multi-digit multiplication. And it's just more interesting.
Yeah.
One of my most profound, I think, experiences was not too long ago, actually, after I moved to Alaska and I was teaching And I'll just say it was sixth grade. And I had a student who just decided that she wasn't going to communicate with me besides with her eyes and her shoulders and the way she looked at me. And all year long, I got minimal, if any, language communication from her. And it was kind of like a challenge, but I kept talking to her and all that kind of thing. And we came around to more Iditarod in the classroom at the time. The race was getting closer and it was time to pick mushers. And he picked Travis Beals. I had no idea why. It just seemed like an interesting choice for her. And so I asked her why she did that. And she said, because she had had him last year in her fifth grade class as her musher. And I thought, okay, well, that's okay. And from that point on, she would come into the classroom. She would initiate conversation. She would be a leader in her group. She wow. just completely lit up and turned on and started being involved. And I just sat by the side and didn't acknowledge it because, you know, when you acknowledge a student, then they don't want to do it anymore. And I told Travis this story. And he, bless his heart, he said, you know what? I'd really like to talk to that girl because I wasn't a big fan of school either.
Awesome. And
it was just a really cool experience.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. We've been talking to Jane Holmes, the Director of Education for the Iditarod Trail Committee, as we've been talking to her about the 25th anniversary of the Teacher on the Trail program. And now we continue with our interview with Jane Holmes. One of the challenges for our educators, as you know, is they're overburdened. I maintain if you can be an educator, you can do anything. You know, I'm a big fan, just the vibrancy and the willingness to learn, but the willingness to care about their students. How do you incorporate this into an educator who's, frankly, overburdened?
Yeah, we hear that all the time, and it's one of our most important messages, is that what we're offering educators isn't something more. Because I remember in the classroom, you know, let's try this program, or let's try this program, and then you need to do this, and you need to do this, like you said. And it seemed like there was just layer upon layer of things that educators are asked to do or to try. And so a lot of teachers do start out with the Iditarod kind of as a short 1 or 2 week unit in the spring, and they kind of, you know, block it off from the rest of what they're doing. But what we try to show, not just tell, but show with our resources and materials, is, like I said earlier, the Iditarod isn't necessarily a topic to be taught about. We like to explain it as a vehicle for delivering the curriculum that you are already responsible for. So if you are an eighth grade language arts teacher and you have to teach kids to write a 5-paragraph personal narrative, if you are a kindergarten teacher teaching ordinal numbers, if you are a high school physics teacher, we have a lesson for that. So we have lessons and curriculum that fit what teachers need to do already for them, and they can just pull it out and use it as is and not make extra time for it.
That's fantastic, because I know that's a big concern. And something I've learned just by being around you is the variety and creative way educators are using this. It's easy to be overshadowed by the Iditarod, but the area that's really growing, and it's all about education. I mean, retired mushers like Vern Halter are teaching younger people to mush. The education that's come about from the equipment, you know, the veterinarians, it's huge. And so today we wanted to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Teacher on the Trail program. And with you are some of your good friends who are former teachers on the trail. And so we wanted to bring each one up individually, get to know them a little bit, and collectively show just what a powerful service that you provide to our community. And just your one example of that student that didn't care about anything and all of a sudden is turned on. I mean, what a difference that can make. And I'm sure there's stories like that all across.
Right. And that's why we're here. It's just a powerful, powerful vehicle, and we believe in it. And we like to think of ourselves as one of the biggest perpetuators of the fan base for the Iditarod, because when you multiply one teacher times 25 students or more, if they teach, you know, middle school or multiple classes, times how many people they have in their family, times every year they teach, I mean, you know, you've got 10,000 new fans every year through the education department.
Remember the other factor that's extremely important: teenagers. Ah! You work with teenagers.
Right. You got to find something.
Oh my gosh. You know, as I tell the kids, you know, in the end, they seem to turn out okay, but it takes about 15 years of your life with it, you know. So glad you joined us on the Big Alaska Show, Jane. And we're looking forward to having a fun Iditarod. And again, the 2024 season, the 25th anniversary of the Teacher on the Trail. Of course, this is going to confuse us all because it's the 2024 with 25 teachers on the trail.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you're going to talk to this teacher, the one and only teacher we had who had to serve 2 years in a row because COVID did not allow his original journey on the trail. So that's why it worked out this way. And if I could just throw out the name of the current teacher on the trail, Kate Neumeier, she is the 25th teacher who will be going on the trail next.
Where's she from?
She's from Seabrook, Texas.
All right. You're going to have a woman go, well, gosh, Ms. Johnson, I thought she was Dale. I'm going to be talking dog. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We want everybody to stick around because when we come back, we're going to introduce you to some of the other, we like to think of them as heroes, teachers on the trail, right after this on the Big Alaska Show.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show.
I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Today, we are honoring the 25th anniversary of the Iditarod Teacher on the Trail program, and we've been talking to former teachers on the trail. Our next former teacher on the trail is Jim Dupre. He's the 2021-2022 Teacher on the Trail. Would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Jim Dupre?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, I've been really looking forward to talking to you because, first of all, you've got a really unique designation. You've got 2021 and 2022 during a very unique time for us. How'd you become the 2021-2022 teacher on the trail?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was going through, you know, all the regular finalist process during 2020. I was up there for, you know, the 10 days for the start of the race, the ceremonial start and the education conference, of course, and just barely made it back to my classroom. I think we went into lockdown like 2 days after I landed back here. And then, yeah, COVID did its thing. And so Iditarod had been amazing through the whole process. Mm-hmm. They understood that the race in 2021 was not going to be exactly what I had signed up for. So they offered a deferment for me to defer my trail experience to 2022. And, you know, I couldn't have been more grateful for that opportunity. So in 2021, I did kind of a virtual trail experience, which was kind of because I was able to involve my classroom students in my daily posts and updating everybody on the race virtually from here in Columbus. So, yeah, it was quite the interesting experience, but got up there for the 50th anniversary, which was amazing. and actually heading back up there for the start of the race this year. So looking forward to every single part of it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll get to meet you. We'll hit the Mushers Banquet and all that stuff. That Mushers Banquet, every professional sport had been shut down, I believe. In talking to Rob Urbach, the CEO, at that time, the pandemic was just unfolding. COVID was just coming into being. We didn't even know if we needed to wash hands. I mean, there was so little known about it. Yeah. And Rob made a good point. He said, had we had the Iditarod a week later, it would not have happened. You got to experience something that's quite unique to be part of that bizarre, remarkable experience, Jim. So Take me back a little bit. Where were you teaching and what grade were you teaching when you became the teacher on the trail?
Yeah. So when I was teacher on the trail, I am still in the same classroom at the same school. So I am teaching third grade in Hilliard, Ohio, which is a suburb right outside of Columbus, at Ridgewood Elementary. And yeah, still have same third grade classroom and still doing all the fun Iditarod stuff with my kids and trying to build a little bit more on those things each year.
How'd you incorporate the Iditarod in your class? Give me an example how you incorporate it into your class.
So I actually got a couple examples. So there's some really cool things that I'd like to try to do every year with my kids. Because I always like to try to make Iditarod more personal and more accessible for them. Because, you know, we are thousands of miles away in Ohio and not anywhere near the race. So to try to make it a little more able for them to connect a little bit better is, you know, kind of my big goal. And so we kind of do that in a couple different ways. I start off by teaching them about the Sarum Run, actually, and kind of going into the history of the sport and the history of Alaska and how important sled dogs were within that. You know, the really cool tie-in to us here in Ohio is Balto himself. So we have Balto in the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. You know, the really cool connection is that Balto, of course, was the dog to, or one of the lead dogs to finally bring the serum into Nome, to the hospital to help save the people of Nome. And then after he retired, you know, he went to a little place in California and wasn't doing well. And so after that, you know, there was a guy on vacation who went and saw Balto and saw that he wasn't doing so well in the climate. And so tried to raise enough money to bring him back. And he's from Cleveland. And so, you know, asked the kids of Cleveland to donate their pennies and all that stuff. And they finally did raise enough money to bring Balto back to Cleveland. And so that's where he spent the rest of his life. He's still in the museum today. You know, you can still go visit him. So it's kind of a cool connection to see how Balto helped save the kids of Nome. And then Balto himself was saved by the kids of Cleveland. So
That's cool.
It's a really cool little connection. And then, you know, when I have students go and visit Balto and send pictures back later, that just drives it home that, you know, what we're doing in the classroom is pretty cool. So
that's I love the story of he goes to California, finds out, you know, Balto wasn't doing that well. You know, he was Balto was tipping too many suds, and you know, he was starting to, one of the things we always do in the Big Alaska Show, Jim, is we do a thing called Tall Alaska Tales, where we'll tell a little tale, and it's up to you, is this a truth or a no good lying through your tooth tall Alaska tale? And I got a feeling that Balto being a Buckeyes, You'll bar us from coming into your classroom. You were up close. You got to go see mushers and their dogs and the Iditarod. How grueling a race is that from your perspective?
Oh, well, you know, during the interviews that the teacher on the trail is asked to do, like with different classrooms and, you know, Zooming with them and doing presentations and that sort of thing, I always get the question from kids and sometimes adults, oh, so did you run Iditarod? And I was like, definitely not. No,
yeah.
I am not in that good of a shape. You know, there's no way I could do what these guys do. And so, you know, I have to explain the whole thing about how, you know, I'm lucky enough to jump in a little airplane and fly to these places and get to sleep in a warm place and not have to, you know, sleep in the elements and that sort of thing. So It is quite the grueling race, and hats off to all the mushers who do this year in and year out.
Rob Erbach, who's an Ironman competitor, and then he went on to run those events. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me he thinks they're the toughest, the mushers are the toughest athletes there are. Another question I had asked him, because a lot of people get concerned about the care for the dogs. And I asked him about his view of the care of the dogs. And he said he hopes that his next life, he comes back as an Iditarod dog.
That's really cool. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
You're originally from Massachusetts. How'd you end up getting into the Iditarod?
Yeah, so oddly enough, I had never even heard of the Iditarod until my first placement when I was student teaching after grad school. My teacher who I took over for went on maternity leave, and she had taught Iditarod to her students. And so it was kind of interesting. I was like, okay, you know, haven't heard of this thing before, but let's learn about it together. So I was kind of teaching it and learning about it with the kids that first year. And then boom, second year, she goes on another maternity leave. And so I'm back in her same classroom. And, you know, the kids are just as glued to the content as the first group. So I was like, okay, she's really onto something with this Iditarod business. So that's when I kind of started to take her lessons and, you know, expand on them. And when I got my own classroom, you know, tailored it to my third graders, and have done it ever since because the kids just absolutely love it.
That's cool. You know how busy you all are. For other educators who'd be interested in doing what you're doing, what are some suggestions you have, or maybe some advice? Because I know one of the concerns from Jane Holmes, you know, director of the Iditarod Education, that's been the things that tried to overcome is people's concern how if it's adding on to their plate.
Yeah, and that's becoming more and more prevalent in education is that, you know, we have these new curriculums that are being rolled out. And the timing is actually pretty interesting because this year my district rolled out a brand new language arts curriculum and math curriculum in the same year. So I totally understand how teachers might be a little more hesitant to, you know, try something new while they're trying to learn these two new curriculums and that sort of thing. But the thing that really, for me, separates teaching Iditarod in the classroom is just how much the kids do enjoy it and have fun with it. And I'm not able to do my full-blown Iditarod unit like I used to this year because of the new curriculums, but that's another kind of nice thing about it. You can kind of tailor it and make it whatever fits your time frames, your curriculum, and it works. And it's able to flow in and out of lots of different disciplines and that sort of thing. So the other thing that really kind of makes it nice is the timing of the Iditarod, actually, because lots of teachers say, you know, February and March, the kids catch spring fever. And I swear that's a real thing. So, they kind of lose their focus a little bit. So you got to spice it up with something a little different. And for me, for the past 15 plus years, I mean, Iditarod has been it. And the kids just love it. And, you know, it helps make the February, March time of year just seem like it flies by because they're so invested in it.
We look forward to seeing you in Alaska and meeting you and appreciate you taking the time. And what you do makes such a, I can tell, you know, you're the kind that, again, we've talked about this, where you're the kind of teacher that people remember. So many kids come from very difficult situations, and to have a classroom where it's a reprieve for them or energizes them or makes a big difference in your life. And you're that kind of guy, man. And and this is just a suggestion. You know, this Balto is a Buckeye.
Yeah. Well, transfer. Yeah. Maybe we can do the portal. So.
I still love the idea. Yeah, Balto wasn't doing that well in California, so we brought him to, you know, Ohio. So
yep.
This is very upsetting for us here in the Bay. I mean, you've got Balto. You've got our dog, man. Let's give Jim Dupre a big Alaska Show thank you and continued success.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. We are honoring the 25th anniversary of the Iditarod Teacher on the Trail program. And we've been talking to former teachers on the trail. And our next guest is Aaron Montgomery, who is the 2015 Teacher on the Trail. Would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Aaron Montgomery. Let's start out. Where were you teaching when you were the 2015 Teacher on the Trail? What grades were you teaching?
I was teaching 7th and 8th grade social studies in Comanche, Iowa. And I taught that for 17 years. And this year I transitioned into a different role, and I am an instructional coach. So I work with teachers. I still get a chance to work with kids, but I work with mostly teachers now.
I bet you they really appreciate having assistants, which so many of them don't, you know.
Yeah,
so.
It's new. It's a new kind of a role within the last, well, in our district, the last 7 years. It's you know, I also coach sports, so now I get to coach adults as well. So it's fun.
That's really cool. I was talking to you a little earlier before we got on this, and I was looking at your resume, and I could tell you're an athlete. And tell us again, you run far.
I run far. I run 100 milers. I in October, I finished my 10th 100 miler. And now I'm currently training for a 150 that's in April.
Oh, my gosh. You're not normal, Aaron.
No, we aren't normal. No.
Well, and which actually puts you in a great position because you can really appreciate mushers as an athlete like you are. What's your perspective on them as being athletes?
I'm like the dog of the sled dog world. But I get envious of the mushers when they want to sleep, when they're out on the trail, they just sit on their nicely sit down sled. I still keep moving. I've figured out how to sleep and keep moving. You know, I kind of zone out and just kind of keep moving. So I get a little 5 minute nap in while I'm moving.
Did you have desire to mush?
Yeah, I did. And I actually did a race in the UP using Ed Steelstra's dogs. The Tequamanon 30 miler, and it was really fun. Maybe it'll be something I do when I retire.
Yeah. Well, Norman Vaughn was one of my heroes. He came as a divorcee at the age of 68 and started mushing then. So
yeah, you know,
there's
hope.
You have a very innovative program, how you've incorporated the Iditarod into your class, which is a podcast called Husky Talk. Tell us about it.
So Husky Talk, we started it to develop some like listening skills, speaking skills, developing compelling questions, have the kids be able to do that. And also then work with software to edit and then even create like little promotional pictures. So like it can hit all sorts of kids. I have kids that come in and write the questions, kids that will be the interview people. Some kids don't want to be on that. And then kids that will have been working on the editing. And so it's a wide range of skills that we use, and this is our 7th year doing it.
Wow. I know it's popular. I've listened to the podcast. They're fantastic.
They do a pretty good job, don't they? We keep working each year on, because it's a new group of kids each year. They just, you know, so they work for the full year. We work on trying to develop that conversational skill, which is super hard to just do with a kid. They write out their questions ahead of time, and they really want to stick to that script. And mm-hmm. And they'll even look at me like, oh my gosh, they're from Wisconsin, which is by us. And you can tell they want to say something, but it's not in their script. So we keep working on that. Like, it's okay. Very, you know, ask other questions. And you know, some kids are better at it than others, but it's a really hard skill.
Show on the Big Alaska Show, the longest running mistake ridden radio show in Alaska. And as my mom used to say, if you can't dazzle them with fancy footwork, just get real.
That's right.
How did you get interested in the Iditarod?
I was reading the newspaper one day, and I saw this like 2-sentence thing that said, Iditarod champion, Jeff King wins the Iditarod. I can't remember what year it was at the time. One of the four he won. And so I'm like, what in the world? And that's all it said, you know, 2 sentences and nothing. So I decided to look it up, and I'm like, well, this is cool. It's got dogs and I love dogs. And I just decided to keep following it. Well, then while I'm following, I stumbled upon the education department, which Jane talked about, and it's overwhelming the amount of things that you can do in the classroom. And I was like, wow, this is going to catch some kids. So I brought it into the classroom.
All right, now, are there ways you are evolving with your program? Because this is how many years? 7 years?
Yeah. Wow. So we've done a lot of things with culture. Since I'm in social studies, we do a lot of history and trails and comparing different types of trails across the United States with like Iditarod, like the history of like, you know, you got the Appalachian Trail, all these trails and the history of those things. We bring in culture pieces, just anything about Alaska, comparing that to Iowa. And, you know, then we start developing it with some other classrooms. So some of our elementary students read some Iditarod themed books. So I'll go over there and talk to those guys about it. Our woodshop class, I asked them, I'm like, hey, you guys think you could build a sled? And he was, yes, absolutely. Well, he doesn't let them just go after it. He makes them research, and our woodshop teacher is amazing. So he made them do some research. They had to develop blueprints, and then they made it. So getting other classes involved has been fun too.
You being now sort of a
coach.
Yeah, thank you. I would say a consultant, a coach for teachers. So what are some advice you have for teachers who may be concerned? It's just, oh, you know, they're already overburdened, as you know.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get the standards in. So now, because I'm a coach and I work with everybody, now I really know what everybody does. Like, I knew what teachers taught, but like now I know their in-depth, what goes on in their classroom. And I'm like, I know somebody, or let's do this. Cause like one of my classes, a science class, they're learning about mountains and how they erode and all of that. Well, they're talking about Mount Everest, and I'm like, ooh, I know somebody that climbed Mount Everest and did the Iditarod. Like, do you want to talk to her? And so we're going to hook up with that. And so the mountain, you know, we can bring all of that in because they're just learning about mountains. And now they're going to talk to somebody who has the experience of climbing Mount Everest and the experience of Iditarod. So they're going to get all of that in. So, and then like the math class, I can take what they're doing and say, hey, do you want to just kind of incorporate this? Because, you know, it's not just, you know, I can't remember who mentioned it earlier. It's not just teaching the Iditarod. It's using it as a tool.
Yes.
You know, it's another tool to get kids engaged. And, you know, it's hard to get kids to want to come to school and like school these days. It really is. And when you can catch them with a hook, I think that's what does it.
How do the kids respond to your program?
Well, they like it. They, you know, what year do we get to learn about that? Cause more in depth, we learned it in seventh grade. Cause they all would touch on it maybe in elementary school by reading a book. But then when they're in elementary, well, you're going to learn more about it in seventh grade. So, then we did things like, we did our own fantasy Iditarod, like fantasy football. So when Iditarod would come close, we did a fantasy football type or fantasy Iditarod. And that way they kind of have they're just following along and having a blast with it.
How much mushing is there in the state of Iowa?
You know, we've had a couple mushers that, so Riley Dyke is, I think he just withdrew actually, but he's done it. And Deke Nachtenboren, is that how you say that? He's from Iowa. And Emily from Iowa City, can't remember her last name off the top.
Right, right. So there is.
There's some people that have come, but not in Iowa. We get snow, but not enough to do that.
Well, I think it's fantastic what you're doing. You're the kind of teacher that we remember. You know, you're that teacher. And for you to have that kind of energy and excitement and care, it's just absolutely fantastic what you're doing with your students. We want to be on Husky Talk.
We'll have to have you.
One of the things I really like about the Iditarod too is the importance of tenaciousness, being able to stick with it. The ones that lose, the ones that come in at the Red Lantern, and they show back up.
Also, another thing I think that is with it all is that passion. Like, these people that do this are very passionate about what they do. And for me, I'm very passionate about, well, everything I teach. It's just, it's my passion. And Iditarod too. And the kids can see that passion. They don't see me as a teacher up there bored coming in and doing my job every day. They can see that I love it. And so then it just kind of in turn helps them enjoy it. You know, you can't be that just boring lecture teacher. You have to, if they see that you're loving it, they're like, oh, okay. And they get into it too.
How big a class do you have?
We have a small school. There's probably like 70 to 80 in a grade. Pretty small school. And so it's nice because I can, you know, you know everybody. And so now as a coach, and I'm a coach for the middle school, so fifth through eighth grade, where before I just knew seventh and eighth graders. Well, now I get to kind of touch all the kids in my building because I'm working with their teachers. And I also work with teachers in the elementary and high school. So I'm kind of connecting with a lot of kids.
Do the kids call you coach?
No, they call me. So my mom teaches there as well. She teaches fifth and sixth grade social studies. So it was two Miss Montgomery's. Well, they call me Miss E. Montgomery. And then for some reason, I don't know if they got lazy saying the full last name, they just shortened it to Miss E. Mont. And they call me Miss E. Mont. And then my mom is Miss K. Montgomery because there's two of us in the building.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for all you do. And congratulations for being the 2015 and a part of a historic thing, because the 25th anniversary for the Teacher on the Trail is just a fantastic program. And for me, being on the outside, getting to know all of you better collectively, it's just such a powerful program.
Yes.
And the one thing you all have in common, you talk about passion, and that comes across, and you're absolutely right. And especially today, there's so many kids who have, it's such a tougher time for, so many come from very difficult situations. And you can be that one light that just changed their life forever.
Yeah. And a huge shout out to Finney for getting this program started, because it changed my life. So she's changed a ton of lives just by doing what she did.
Erin Montgomery, thank you for joining us in the Big Alaska Show. Let's give Erin Montgomery a Big Alaska Show thank you and continued success.
Thank you for having me.
So that's our show. It's such an honor to talk to these teachers on the trail. Their passion for teaching and learning is impressive, and such care for their students by creatively using the Iditarod to fuel their students' excitement. And I wonder how many sleepless nights they spent worrying about their students. I look back on those teachers in my life that inspired and encouraged me, and occasionally put the boot to the backside when I needed it. And today's show makes me really appreciate I was able to go back and thank two of them. Teachers on the Trail, you rock. And to my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do.
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank Jane and the Teachers on the Trail for joining us. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, and online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Alaska Enterprise Solutions, they're your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guest, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your two tall Alaska tails, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.